Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, the top... Early! This is Wretched Radio. Ain't nothing new under the sun. For your consideration, the top 20 stories of 2025. Is it just me or were we just partying like it's 1999? Which does raise the question, will Prince see a resurrection of his career in 2090s when we remake We're Gonna Party Like It's 2099? That question will be answered by the next generation because, quite honestly, most people, including myself, listening to this here Wretched Radio program, gonna be dead. I know, it's supposed to be a happy day, the first of the year. We are going to be dead by then. We're not gonna party like it's 2099. We're going to be dead, which is why it's better to spend a day in the house of mourning than in the house of rejoicing. On this day, however, as we begin 2025, and Jimmy, I have a confession to make. This isn't a New Year's resolution. This is a New Year's resolution confession.
Okay.
Still thinking about it, that we have a resolution here at it's not that it's a bad idea. I just want to make sure that we can do it because Jimmy tends to forget that we commit. This is our resolution. We commit to memorizing one Bible verse per month.
Oh, I
that's
get
that. Nothing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be paragraphs. It might be more than a verse, but wouldn't it be good if by the end of the year you had 12 new verses stashed in your noggin? Could be the best thing you do for your walk all year because as you march through life and you hit one landmine after another and things get hard and perhaps God seems, He's not, but He seems distant, you can recite and rehearse these Bible verses that remind you that God is good and He is faithful and He is able and He loves His children and He only does good things for us, never things against us. And if you have those Bible verses baked into your brain, when you hit one of those landmines, you stop and go, hold on, feelings. You get to the back of the bus. I am going to let truth lead this train. I mixed up my modes of transportation, but the point is memorizing scripture, the benefits. So what do you say? We all commit to one Bible verse per month. And Jimmy, I thought I'll tell you what. You pick the first verse. I'll give you a little time here.
I got it.
As we make our way through the top 20. The top 20 stories, in my estimation, and believe me, this is very scientific, what you're about to hear. Jimmy and I spent minutes studying and putting together and putting in the correct order because how do you put these things in order? Nevertheless, Jimmy, you're going to figure out what's our first Bible verse for the year. Don't make it too easy.
Oh, Jesus wept.
Yeah, no, we've all got that one.
2 Timothy 2:2. What?
I told you to wait.
Oh, okay.
It would be like a big surprise then.
Okay.
All right. What's 2 Timothy 2:2?
I got to look it up.
You just picked one? And that's how much thought went into the list that you're about to hear. How do you figure out which one is the biggest story? So what I did was broke it down basically into two categories. So 20 down to 11, basically world stories, but I think they impact us and we had a fair amount of involvement in those stories. But the top 10 are the things that should be of most interest to us. What is happening in the church? What is happening in the greater Christian community? Those should be the stories that are near and dear. As you see these countdown lists happening, everything's going to be election, Donald Trump, all of that stuff. And that is on my list, but it ain't at the top of my list. Because I think it's safe to say, while God is certainly sovereign, He is running everything, He's more interested in His church, the bride of Christ, than He is in politics. No, I'm not a communist. I'm just saying. That's our priority list. So here we go. At number 20, of the top 24, 20, 20 of the top best of stories of the quarter of a century into the 21st century year that we are currently in the midst of. The Democratic platform is number 20. Most anti-family, most pro-sin, most pro-death. There has never been a political party in this country that has been more wicked. Not even close. Oh, I know you can go back to the days of slavery because it was the Democratic Party that was perfectly fine with slavery. But it's more wicked now because slavery is bad. Dismembering babies in their mother's womb, it's worse. Mutilating children, pumping little kids full of drugs that mess them up for life. And that's a big story because that's our culture. And I think you and I, we are probably breathing a little easier, perhaps because of the election. But the reality is, you know, people are not going to stop their wickedness and the evil that is running rampant in our country, the ideologies inside of the universities, academia, arts, entertainment. It's not going to slow down with a Republican in the White House. And I wonder if you and I still need to do some transitioning without conceding, America, that this isn't the same country. And I think the proof of it would be story number 20. Number 19, the Republican platform. That ain't nothing to celebrate, is it? It is no longer pro-life. It used to be up until 4 years ago. It was very adamantly pro-life. Now it's pro-family. And I'm glad it's pro-family because that's a part of the picture, but that's not courageous. It's like saying, I'm going to take a hard stand. I'm in favor of cotton candy, rainbows, and sunny days. That's nothing. Nor is it big to say you're pro-family. Kind of thought that was a no-brainer. Number 18, the evangelical voting dilemma. We went through it, and there wasn't quite as much acrimony on it as I kind of imagined there would be. But nevertheless, it did force us to think through how do we vote? Because we used to have standards. We used to lament Bill Clinton was president because of his lack of morality. Now we, you know, and suddenly people are accusing us of being hypocritical. So we had to sort this out and figure it out. And we probably, the biggest cliche that came out of it is we're not voting for a pastor, we're voting for a president. And that's true, but that doesn't mean we don't want a moral person leading us. We do, because the people rejoice when the righteous are in power. And we weep when they're not, don't we? And so we had to work through it. And I think we kind of sorted out, here's the bottom line is, we will vote for the lesser of two evils, which brings us to number 17. Donald Trump won. That's not the 17 story. What I think is the number 17 story is that evangelicals still, despite the victory, are allergic to criticizing him. I think that's a big story. And I know that even commenting on it as a big story is going to cause some people to be consternated. Hey, what do you mean we can't criticize? How dare you criticize us for not being able to criticize him? Are you a socialist? No, not. I'm just saying that if anybody can be objective when it comes to judging politicians, it should be Christians. It should be we. We should be able to say, yep, lesser of two evils, we'll vote. However, there are issues. And if we can't point out without feeling like we are somehow selling America down the tubes, if we can't point out when a politician is not exemplary in an area of life, then I don't think we should be surprised when the pagans call us hypocrites. Number 16 story of the year, in my estimation, which is, of course, correct because I'm a talk show host, the Israel-Hamas war, which part of that story, I think there were a lot of components to that story, not the least of which is, how do we pray for Israel? How do we do that? And did we not see a huge surge of just overt racism toward God's chosen people? Oofta. And didn't we see a lot of ignorance exposed on university campuses? From the river to the sea. Do you know what that means? I think it's about geography or something, like going kayaking or something. They had no idea what they were doing on the university campuses. I think that was a revealing story and continues to be. Number 15, you recall the Olympics. There were two big stories there that indicate we are living in a post-Christian world. The Lord's Supper fiasco and the dude boxer who beat up the girls. That's our world. And I think without conceding it, we need to recognize we're going back to Corinth, y'all. We're sophisticated in so many ways, whether it's with technology and medicine and transportation, but we're not getting more moral as a species. Number 14 and 13, assisted suicide and IVF. Assisted suicide, we're seeing it increase in Netherlands, Canada, and now in UK and Wales. IVF, why is that a big story? Because nobody's talking about it. We'll continue the countdown. And Jimmy's Bible verse for January. You had enough time? Next. Good. On Wretched Radio.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barbell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to FortisPlus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The mystery is great. This is Wretched Radio. In moments, we will reveal Jimmy's Bible verse for the month of January. You got it in there?
I do.
All righty. Then in the meantime, I'll just be filling time until we get to Jimmy with the top 20 stories of 2024. If you recall, we left off at number 13 with IVF. We need to have a conversation. We need to understand what it is. Can it be a blessing? I believe it can. Can it also be murder? I believe it can. And if we evangelicals aren't leading the way in ethical conversations about these subjects, ain't nobody going to do it. We are just going to march forward just like we're doing with story 14, assisted suicide, whatever, kill them. Granny, how much? Offer. It's a nasty, slippery slope. And IVF is another conversation that we should be having, and regularly and forcefully. We cannot leave human beings in a freezer with no intention of ever rescuing them. Story number 12. This one didn't make anybody's list but mine. Digital parenting. And it's I know this isn't popular, and perhaps we beat this horse a little too regularly around here. But mom and dad, please don't let social media raise your child. Don't let social media be the ones who teach your kids what is up and what is down, because they're going to get the wrong message. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I wish I could say, oh, go to this website. Here's the formula. I think it is constant diligence. I don't know that a day can go by where you're not checking to see what the kids are into. And even then, you're probably going to get duped because they're better at it than we are. They can hide things. They can just make them go away. You got to be on it. Don't let the world into your home. I think back to that Downton Abbey episode. People can call and enter into our home. That's my impression of the butler. And this is, we're going to allow this, that they can interrupt a conversation? That's what the phone is, isn't it? Bing, they're in your house. You pick it up, somebody's in your house. At least their voice is. And they were quite concerned about this. We should be concerned about giving that device to our children, especially when it has an internet connected to it. Top story number 11, Satan clubs. That's right. They're popping up all over the place. And the Batmat or whatever their deity figure is that they want to prop up around capitals, Satanism, it's on the march. Paganism, witchcraft, growing. And we're going to have to figure out a way to say, without violating the principles of this country, that we are pluralistic when it comes to people practicing their religion. What are we going to do about Satan clubs? We really want Satan statues in front of our government buildings? It's a sign of the times. Number 10, the Bible being taught in schools. Texas and Oklahoma, they decided, let's start teaching the Bible in the schools. I wasn't a huge fan of it simply because I don't like the guys. It was a bit of a Trojan horse. Well, no, I shouldn't say it's a Trojan horse because that means there were nefarious intentions. What I didn't like about it is that they wrapped it in, well, it's a part of our history. That's not what the Bible is. Yes, the Bible was used a lot to inform, I think, our constitutional government, a representative republic, capitalism, but it's not an economics book. It's God's word, and I don't like diminishing it to merely being influential in Western civilization. Also, I have some concerns about who's going to be teaching it and what are they going to be teaching. So far, I will admit, however, that the lessons that they're teaching, they're just teaching how Christianity did affect Western civilization. They're not getting into dogma, which is a good thing, because do you want a pagan teaching your child Christian theology in school? Story number 9, the UMC, a denomination bites the dust, which brings us to number 8, Justin Welby retiring from the Anglican Communion, which indicates it is just in big trouble. He should have left for other reasons. In my estimation, he was a total capitulator when it came to the issue of genders and marriage. He left because he was not aggressive enough in dealing with a church scandal, which was really scandalous and awful. But nevertheless, it's just another sign. The Anglican Communion, it's in big trouble. And that doesn't make us rejoice. I would rather see a healthy Methodist church and a healthy Anglican Communion. I'd like to see the Episcopalians come back to the reservation, because I disagree with them on certain issues. Doesn't mean I don't want a Christian denomination that is at least on paper orthodox to be thriving. We should all want that. Number seven. I can't read it, Jimmy. Number seven. There it is. Conservative churches keep growing. The liberal ones, they keep shrinking. Preach the Bible, Pastor. It keeps growing. Number six. Okay, maybe not number six, but it's a big story because I think the individual that has made the number six slot is a big deal. We look back in church history and we identify certain people. So let's just go back to the 20th century and you'd probably think of somebody like, oh, Martin Lloyd-Jones, and rightly so. And every century has those that are more influential than others. That's just how it works. God uses different people differently. Well, the reality is, in the 21st century and even a part of the 20th century, probably I can't think of anybody in conservative Bible teaching schools that has been more influential and has been a part of doing so much ministry than John MacArthur. And his health in this last year, it's been a really big struggle. And I think that's a big story because I think he's one of the big figures of evangelical Christian history. Number five story, another evangelical great that was a story that we were all talking about, of course, is Alistair Begg. Gave advice to a grandmother about attending a gay wedding, and he was pilloried online for that. And now he's retiring next year. He said in his farewell address that there's nothing about the timing other than it's just time for me to go. I'll trust that, but it feels kind of like a heavy-hearted departure because Al Begg was faithful for 40 years. Story number, why is math getting so hard? The numbers are getting smaller and the numbers are getting, okay, numbers, oh, this, oh, yeah. Story number four, probably bigger than the Begg story, and that would be the Steve Lawson disaster? Debacle? Tragedy? Heartbreaker? Oofta. That was right in the bullseye of where you and I live. Not him. How could he fall? How could he fall for so many years? What are the implications for me? And by the way, if you're still interested in getting some of that stuff resolved, I do believe that the webinar we did in 2024, still helpful. A lot of people watched that, which I was really cheered by because the guys that are in it are all pastoral. And I think when you're done watching it, you maybe won't feel so bad if you still do regarding story number four, which is Steve Lawson, bringing us to story number three, Bible sales are up. That's good news. I don't know why. I suspect it has to do with story number two. I think it has to do with loneliness. I think it has to do with the fear. I think it has to do with purposelessness. I think it has to do with people observing something ain't right here. We got to go looking. Maybe the old paths have some answers for us. So Bible sales are up, which brings us to number two, evangelical opportunities are up. I don't think my life as being somebody who is intentional about witnessing to people that I've ever seen a more fruitful time. I don't think there's ever been a better time to evangelize. And I think that's a big story. But story number one for the year 2024 is Okay, that's when we need the drum roll.
Oh, Jimmy. Oh, I'm sorry.
The top story for 20. Jesus reigns. That's it. That's the top story every year. He's still ruling. He's still on his throne. He's still in control of every molecule. Nothing is out of his purview. Everything is running on time, and you can rest no matter how tumultuous this year may or may not be. You've got to remember that your Savior has everything firmly under his control. He is building his church. He is reigning where'er the sun, and he is still saving souls and bringing people to heaven, and he's going to return one day. And wow, if 2024 taught us anything, it's to long for the return of our Savior. Jimmy, aren't you going to congratulate me for practicing self-control?
For?
Not mentioning the launch of Fortis Institute or Alpha Run a Bible Church.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do it. This is Wretched Radio.